Good morning. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Larry Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 1st, 2017, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are currently on page 49, starting with the first paragraph. We're going to read through two paragraphs. Starts with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, through two paragraphs. Okay. Now I'm going to have to get back, I believe, on the reference number. So Mel, if you text me that, and I'll chime back in. I forgot to ask about that. I don't think Leah had sent those to me, but I will get back to you guys on that for the reference number for yesterday. Let me start with the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Okay, let me get back and give you the reference number for yesterday, which was, of course, Wednesday, May 31st. And for the 7 a.m. meeting, that reference number was 9994. That's 9994 for the 7 a.m. And the 10 a.m., the number is 9996. My apologies, I didn't get that in the right order. Okay, so let's see, here we go. The OA's sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And let me now ask Stacy T. if you'd be kind enough to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for your service. This is Stacy T. from Cleveland, recovering compulsive overeater, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, I pass.
Thanks, Stacy. Okay, let's move on now to our 12 traditions. Esther, you got those for us?
I sure do. Thank you, Larry, thanks, for your service. This is Esther F., a recovered compulsive overeater from Cleveland, Ohio. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Esther. Appreciate that. Okay, here's how this meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months, but there's no abstinence requirement for sharing as long as we're on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. And of course, we're sharing what the direction in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're currently, Leslie's going to read to us from the first paragraph on page 49, which starts instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents. And she's going to read through two paragraphs, and then we're going to have comments on both. So, Leslie, can you get us started?
Absolutely. Thanks, Larry, for your service.
Sure.
My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Once again, I'm Leslie M. from New York. The God of my childhood. Was a harsh and punishing God. And so I knew that, and I believe that that's what caused me to be an agnostic and not believe that there was a God personal to me, that there was a God that would help me. And through this program and through listening to this meeting, A Vision for You, I have seen that people of faith have a logical idea of what life is about, and that they also demonstrate a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we should have thought ourselves. And instead, I was poo-pooing the idea that there was a God that would help me, that was kind and loving, until I came here and have been reading the directions out of the Big Book. Because of having a faith, you know, and even the reading from yesterday, having a faith in something that I can't explain, that I don't understand, but still depending on it, like electricity, just knowing that it's going to be there for me. And that's exactly where I've gone with my higher power, it's such an unwavering thing. You know, I feel like God is with me all the time now, and that I can ask a question and receive an answer and know that it's the right one instead of my thinking, which was It says here, actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever about life when people of faith seem to have some. And I have found that through practicing the 12 steps and working on, you know, going through this journey with my sponsor and the people that I sponsor. And that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Hey, yeah. Leslie, thank you for getting us started there. Okay, so we're going to transition into share. Who would like to share on what was read?
Matt M.
Charles H.
Carol
Julie
J.
R.
Matt M.
Okay, Matt, Charles, Julie. Who else did I hear?
Carol J.
Carol?
Yes.
We've got a few others, perhaps. Okay, so here's who I have so far. I heard Matt and Charles and Julie and Carol. Anybody that I missed?
Katie G. from Boston.
Katie. All right. Let's go with that first list of five, and we'll go from there. So we got Matt, Charles, Julie, Carol, and Katie. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for your service. Always good to hear you. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M. Compulsive Reader from New Jersey. We have traveled a dubious path that you lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. You know, listen, I was raised as a Catholic, and I just did not like what I was raised with. It was forced down my throat by a family that was very hypocritical. They wanted me to go and do all the religious rites and everything, but they didn't really go at all. And it was totally unfair. So I already felt prejudiced that I was being forced to go to organized religion and go to church when they weren't going. So that was already one strike against God for me. The second strike is when I realized that I was gay. That's the second strike, because I didn't want to be. And my organized religion wasn't very accepting of it, so that was strike two. I thought, if there was a God, why did he make me this way? Why did he do all these things to me, blah, blah, blah? You know, the whole thing, woe is me. You know, why did God do all these things? And I realized, now that I realize what it is. I was born the way I was born, and religion has nothing to do with spirituality or with higher power. I have a lot of great good things in my life. I have friends. I have a place to stay. I have abstinent food to eat. I have a place to go during the day. I have a wonderful library that I use, and I use as a resource, which I love to go to get out of the house. And you know what? I do have blessings in my life, and I realized that they weren't given to me. They weren't just given to me. They were given to me by my higher power, who's giving me peace of mind every day. And I'm grateful that this program is here because it saved my life. You know, I was up to almost 650 pounds, and that's not life at all. That's just existing. I was existing to living and to only to eat every day. That's all. Nothing else mattered. So I'm grateful I don't have to be that way. I can very easily go back there if I choose to pick up the food again. But right now I'm down, and I'm grateful for that. I'm just looking forward to the next day and the next part of my phase of my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much. We got Charles followed by Julie. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Hey, Larry K., man. Thank you for your beautiful service, my brother. Charles H., sure. Recovered compulsive overeater. I'm not going to hit it from, you know, ever since 78, you know, actually 83 years probably ago when Ebby told Bill with a smilingly, I got religion. Y'all been going crazy. We've been going crazy to fighting it. And I want to hit that line where it says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, instead of doing higher power's work, he's trying to do his job. I could say that for myself. But I want to hit this line. Maybe that's the block that I didn't want to partner with something greater than me, because I should have been able to figure this out. Maybe that's the thinking. Maybe that's the thinking that needs to be altered, right? Because I'm going to take you to page 2 in the doc's opinion when it says, it did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking because we were maladjusted to life in full flight from reality. That's probably why I need something greater than myself. I should have figured it out. Can I figure it out on my own intelligence? No. Can I do this by myself? No. Can I recover by myself? No. Can I keep this without giving it away? No. Can I tap into do I have that power by myself? No. So this chapter is so beautiful, and it's so lovingly. It says, please lay aside prejudice, preconceived notions. And I'm thinking about Herbert Spencer, contempt prior to investigation. Be like Mikey. Try it. It'll save your life. You ain't gotta like it. You ain't gotta like it. It will save your life. Charles, you cannot do it on your own. You tried it, you made a mess of it, and higher power will rip it, dip it, and strip it, and I'll be a new creature one day at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Charles. Okay, we got Julie followed by Carol. Julie, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Larry. This is Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I have highlighted in my book, even against organized religions, right, that to lay aside my prejudices. And then the second part of that, where it says we used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs. You know, as a child, I was raised a Catholic with some Native American. My mom had been raised on a reservation, you know, and not a very good experience from her religion that she was given. And so as soon as I turned 18, moved out of the house, I never went to church again. And when somebody would talk about a certain religion, didn't matter it, whatever religion it was, I was on the attack. It's like, let me tell you what that religion does. Let me tell you why, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would just get turmoil, and it's like I wanted to fight. And it's so funny, even in the rooms, it was like, you know, don't go and tell me about religion. And I would say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. But I would say it coming from a place of ego and malice. Today, when I say that, it's love and compassion. I sponsor people from Jewish faith, Catholic faith, I can't even talk today, faith, all these different sects. And it doesn't, I don't judge them. I don't do anything because you know what? Whatever your belief in is awesome. Because when you have a belief in something, in a God, a creator, a higher power, then I'm not into Julie. I'm not into ego. I don't have to win anything. I don't have to push anything down anybody's throat. So it's like I get to experience the joy of Julie's God. And I can also respect your God. And it is so cool to be able to sit back and not judge anymore. Because when you look at people who have a faith, and they're doing the will of God, and they're living the steps, they have a peace and a calmness. Who am I to judge? And it's like only through working these steps was I'm able to accept your God and not judge. So I am just so grateful to have a God and to also love people who have a different belief. I don't have to argue anymore. And it's so freeing. And it's only because when I really got into We Agnostics, and understood that I was agnostic. I had a God, but I wasn't showing how powerful that God was. And today it's like, okay, on awakening, God, direct me today. I'm going to have a not a very good day at work. I got some things going on. But it's like, you know what? I'm going to go with my God. Because I know no matter what happens, if I go with integrity, I'm going to be okay. And so will everything else. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Julie. Okay, we have Carol followed by Katie. Carol, good morning. Carol, press star one if you would.
Good morning, Larry. This is Carol J. from Saugatuck, Michigan.
Good morning.
I'm a compulsive overeater and one of those recovering from Catholicism. And I had faith in God, but I had no idea what he could do for me most of my life. And, you know, I've been in other 12-step programs and had that spiritual awakening and spiritual experiences. But for some reason, since I've joined Overeaters Anonymous, it seems to be working totally different than what it has before. And maybe because I'm more into it or turning my life and will over to my higher power, but it's just been amazing, the awakening that I've had in Overeaters Anonymous, and it's just opened my eyes more than it ever has, and I'm really, truly grateful for that, and I just am practicing talking on this line because I'm new, only been abstinent 4 months, but having some wonderful experiences with other Overeaters Anonymous members, and I'm just grateful for you, Larry, and thank you for Vision for You. I'm able to be happy, joyous, and free, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Carol. Okay, Katie, good morning.
Yo, Larry, it's Katie G. May I be heard?
You can. A little background. Yeah, I got you.
It's like dramatic. Katie G's in the house. Not really. Okay, hi, guys. I'm Katie G, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic, cracking herself up in pasta. Oh, my God, I love you guys. Okay, so what struck me today was my cynical dissection of other people. You know, a long time ago, some people hurt me, right? Some people hurt me. And because they belong to a certain denomination, I was like, excuse me, the entire denomination is ridiculous and I'm going to tear it down. You know, and the irony, when I went through the steps for the first time in entire abstinence, what I saw is I am those people, right? Like, I am criticizing you. So you're doing bad things in my head, right? And I'm criticizing you for doing the things that you're doing, but I'm criticizing you. I am cynically dissecting you. So guess what, guys? I'm not any better than you. Like, I'm tearing you down. I am coming from a place, or I was coming from this place that I'm not good enough. And because I'm not good enough, I'm going to cynically dissect you. I'm going to tear you down. And, you know, like, what is so amazing today as a recovered woman, not only is so much of us talk about, like, I don't want to eat today, I don't want to hurt other people, but, like, I have ceased fighting anything or anyone. I am not criticizing religion. I am not criticizing any 12-step recovery. I am not criticizing Overeaters Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. I am not going around. I remember in college, I would say, I hate people. And then I'd look at my friends and I'd be like, don't worry, you're not a person. That's a chip on my shoulder, right? And today I get the privilege of learning from all of you, Muslims and Buddhists and, you know, Orthodox Judaism and typical whatever, like all the religions that are out there or the spiritualities. And I am, in another part of this chapter, I'm quick to see where religious people are right, or it might be another chapter, you guys can correct me, make use of what they offer, right? I make use of what they offer, right? So I've got entire abstinence, right? And I'm reaching out and I'm living the steps today, and I get spiritual considerations from all of you that are changing my life, right? Because it's not just that I have a little bit of a food and weight problem, right? Like, lack of power, that is my dilemma, and I want to dominate you. I want to cynically dissect you. I want to prove my power, right? I am a vain, I'm an egotistical woman at my core. Why? Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid I have addict thinking. But because of the work that I do, and if everything I'm saying is like super confusing to you, I'm sorry. Because of the work I do today, I get to not hurt other people. I get to walk among all of you. And I'll just close with this. Like, what a privilege that I can just be quick to see where everyone is right and make use of what you offer, because all of you are my teachers and I have ceased fighting everything. And with that, I pass. I'm going to do it one more day. Love you guys.
Thanks, Katie. Okay, we're going to take some more names here. We're at the top of page 49 through two paragraphs. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Lisa B.
And Janice
M. E. Amanda.
Let me tell you who I have, okay, before we go on there. All right, so I have, in no particular order here, I have Lisa, Janice, Barbara, I think I heard Amanda, and was that Russ or Ross? I believe it's Russ.
Russ.
Gotcha, Russ. Hey, there's so few guys, you know. I gotcha. I hear you. Okay, who else did I leave out? All right. Well, we can go with this list here, and then we can move on from there. So we have Lisa, Janice, Barbara, Amanda, and Russ. Hey, Lisa, it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Lisa B., a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you, Larry, for your service. And the reader and the speaker that was just before me, I share so many, that was a lot of what I was going to share. When I moved here to South Carolina from South Florida, the big question here is, you know, what church do you go to? Which used to drive me crazy. I thought, God, that is such an invasive personal question and such a chip on my shoulder. What are they after? What are they wanting? And I used to say, I go to the Church of Humankind. you know, and I would go, oh, they were baffled. And that was right around the time of Hurricane Katrina and everything that was going on in Louisiana. And do you know, these beautiful people here and many of these churches would load up in buses with food and supplies and blankets and everything to bring to those people in New Orleans. And they would reach people that many times the government, our government, hadn't been able to reach yet. And they would stay there for weeks and help these people. And I began to see, oh, my gosh, you know. And that's what this paragraph is saying to me. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting these beliefs and practices, which we might have observed that these people, you know, had a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. They weren't out to get me. They weren't trying to contain me and capture me and put me in a little mold in a box. That is so much of my own fear. And now that I'm recovered, I see what a fear-based person I have been my whole life. And even if they wanted to share with me some of their beliefs, so what? I don't have to buy it if I don't want to. And the thing for me is, because I was such a, you know, really a weak person in my own understanding of who and what I am, I was so afraid of everything, of being sold a bill of goods and that I wouldn't be able to protect and defend myself. And today, as a recovered person and having the clear guidance of the God of my understanding, that's been deep within me all along, it was me who pulled away. I have that guidance. I have that protection. I have the direction. I can take care of myself and speak up for myself. And if someone asks me a question, you know, what church do you go to? I don't have to think, what are they wanting from me? You know, I could just try and be kind and helpful to them. What a concept, you know. So I just felt the need to share that. I continue to learn how wrong I have been and how misguided I have been in really everything. And I'm open-minded today. I'm willing still to learn as a drowning person because I am a drowning person with this disease. I am recovered today, but it's for today only, and it's only contingent on my spiritual condition. And I know nothing. I really know nothing. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay, we have Janice followed by Barbara. Hey, Janice, good morning.
And good morning to you, Larry. And good morning to everyone. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, now I'm going to, you know, comment about that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, what worked for me was intelligence is not a reliable tool for recovery. It's just not. You could have the highest IQ. You could have all these degrees with letters after your name, and you could still, you know, not get a power greater than yourself. Because we need a power greater than ourselves. So if I'm so intelligent and high IQ or whatever, that's not going to restore me to sanity. It hasn't. I'm not saying I had a high IQ, but I mean, I know people, I mean, in my family, they have mental challenges and they got recovered. So it's got nothing to do with intelligence. But of course, you know, the world, we think that I thought that, like, you know, beautiful shares this morning, and my friend, my brother Chuck, Charles, you know, I thought I could do it. I was the last, you know, the alpha and the omega, but rather vain of me, right? Rather conceited, imagine thinking that I could, you know, do the high tides and the low tides and give myself recovery. Can't do it. Just cannot do it. And, you know, it's we used to amuse ourselves. That means, for me, that I was so self-righteous, you know, and criticizing other people. So my thinking made me believe, that I could control my compulsive overeating. It's not until I opened up my mind, okay, to this program and stopped fighting, stopped analyzing, because analysis is paralysis, you know, with my mind, which didn't come to do anything. So that's what it took for me, an open mind. And then I could see through this, these steps, that the void was filled. You know, first, in spite of my intelligence, in spite of my compulsive overeating, you know, they were my higher powers. But, you know, when I came to this program and they told me to, you know, this is how I get recovered and I won't have the obsession, the void was filled, because I used to fill it with everything in the world and it didn't work. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice. Okay, we have Barbara followed by Amanda. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara E., a compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Did you all hear the sleep last night? We had a lot of it. And for me, I had no knowledge of religion or God as a child. I went to services twice a year, and perhaps that was the only time in my life I got to meditate, because I certainly wasn't listening to anything that anyone was saying in the synagogue. I did have belief. I believed in Santa Claus. I believed in the Tooth Fairy. I believed in the Easter Bunny. I believed from an early age that I was crazy when it came to food. I would climb up on the counter in the kitchen and take the cookies out of the cabinet. I would sit in front of a little TV that we had and watch Howdy Doody and make trips back and forth to the bowl that was filled with pretzels that in today's world I don't even like, because I couldn't stop eating. So from an early age, my mother was taking me to fat doctors, getting shots and pills. I went to fat camp. I went to what they call charm school. I went through virtually every diet program you can mention. But I had no knowledge of religion. I wasn't an atheist. I was simply an agnostic, no knowledge. And when I came into OA in 1997, I realize now that was a higher power directing me there, because I was desperate. I was doomed. I was hopeless. So I stuck with the program. I stuck with the tools. But that didn't prevent me from being unhappy, angry, resentful. It kept me abstinent. That's great. I'm really thrilled, 20 years. But I did not want to fall into the trap of understanding just enough of the OA program to keep me miserable, but not enough to make me happy. So I really had to look inward and upward and find a higher power and believe that there was something out there that could help me to make a beginning on a lifetime job, a willingness to do what my higher power, a power that's not me and not my refrigerator, had not allowed me to do so well before, because I was run totally on self-will. I had to surrender. I had to surrender on a daily basis. I had to look inward and upward, not outward and downward. I need to focus on the principles, because if I focus on the principles, I hope I will end up being, on a daily basis, free of all the angers, the resentments, the passive aggressiveness that dominated my life before. I am a compulsive person, a compulsive overeater, and I will so until the day I die, and probably my hand might reach out from the grave to grab something. But God willing, and the creek don't rise, it won't. Thank you so much for being there, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, we have Amanda followed by Russ. Amanda, good morning to you.
Good morning. This is Amanda R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. So there's that sentence, "We beg you to lay aside prejudice even against organized religion." And it made me think of, you know, that section in our preamble where it says we're not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. So that's, you know, religious doctrine, it's an outside issue for us. We're really neither pro or con on any particular one. we say, look, it works great for a lot of people, and yet it's definitely not a requirement of our program. We're a spiritual program. I'm thinking of one vision for you was last going through this chapter, and I was part of the meeting then. I was getting my feet under me in recovery. I was working through the earlier steps, and I was still a little shaky. And I remember just listening. I think people don't even realize they're doing it, which is why I give a friendly heads up that sometimes particular faiths get put down. And my faith in particular, which is dear and precious above all things to me, tends to get talked down about and spoken of quite negatively. And as I was listening to that happen the last time we went through this chapter, I just got really discouraged. And I was like, oh, man, I really thought OA was the thing for me. I really thought this was going to work, but this is just breaking my heart, you know, to hear what is so important to me being spoken down about. So I encourage, you know, because our purpose as a meeting is to reach the still suffering compulsive overeater, I think we can do that best, or part of doing that, is to be careful about being neutral about religion. Certainly we don't endorse any, but neither do we put down any particular religion, because I think we can lose people that way, people who are really struggling and eagerly reaching out for this solution that works and that saves us from really a pretty awful life and a pretty awful death. This is a solution. It's a beautiful solution. It's out there, but let's keep neutrality, and we'll be able to help people better that way. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Amanda. Okay, Russ, you're up. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Russ, compulsive overeater outside of Philly. So yes, that line there, that prejudice line. You know, if it wasn't for my faith, I wouldn't be on this line. I wouldn't be working at my recovery. You know, it's been something. Look, I'm Catholic, grew up Catholic, the whole nine yards. But I've always felt close to God in distant times, like any human being. But if that seed wasn't planted, that there was someone that loved me, you know, there's a being that loved me, I wouldn't have strived to try to say, look, you know, recognize I have a problem, go through all this. Might have took 37 years, but I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And frankly, with almost 5 months in the program, my faith has been, it's like OA has been the puzzle piece for me. That's unblocked me from God. And yes, it's a struggle. I'm still battling. I still argue with him. I say, yo, I got some resentments towards you, man. You know, me saying that to the high, you know, the being that created everything. But if it wasn't for that, and I didn't have my faith, you know, I guess that's what that's saying. And, you know, there's good in there. You know, there's good in all of it. And, you know, it points us in a direction towards our higher power. And for me, that was, you know, it's still important to me. But, you know, my more than my mind and my head and, you know, I'm having an open heart, and my soul is opening up. And the more I'm opening up there, working through the steps, the more my trust in God and my higher power is just, it's coming through me. And I'm really gaining on it, you know, and I'm appreciative and grateful. So, you know, I think you could go through the whole book and say, oh, that's my chapter. This is definitely my chapter. And I appreciate everybody on this line, because, you know, it's bringing me closer to God. So that's the most important thing in my whole life. So I thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Russ. Hey, Larry, can I take a turn? Sure, Larry, go ahead. Why don't you take a couple minutes? Okay. Thanks, Larry. All right, this is Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. I just wanted to jump in just briefly here. You know, it says here, we used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness and usefulness, which we should have sought for ourselves. I didn't seek it for myself much. I was aware of it. You know, in my particular field, you know, times have changed. And when I first started out, I probably could go to the library once a semester and leisurely review the journals to stay on top of the literature on spirituality. Not anymore. It's hard to keep up with the explosion of research in the field of spirituality. You know, research in this area is producing knowledge that is touching probably every sub-discipline of psychology and other fields as well. And, you know, for example, if we take the idea of learning, what we know today is from their earliest years, children demonstrate a strong spiritual capacity. We also learn that marital partners, I mean, this is factual, marital partners who pray for each other are less likely to engage in infidelity. You know, people who attend some sort of spiritual service of some kind once a week or more live on average 7 years longer. And for African Americans, the benefit is 14 years. So it's, you know, this spiritual idea, there's some factual things that we find in the data, very positive things. Now, that's not to suggest that some people are very troubled by their religious upbringing, that, you know, but again, you know, look, the way I look at it is that for me, this spiritual life works. It works. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't expect it to be perfect. I don't expect to be perfect as a man. But it works. It works much better. My life works much better than it did prior to embarking on this practical program of action where spirituality is the core of it all. You know, because after all, food, you know, we hear food was never my problem. Food was the solution to my problem. Food was my master. It was what I used to make myself feel better, to not feel anything at all. See, today, for some reason, not only do I believe that spirituality is the answer, that being in alignment with my higher power is the answer, that's proven to be true. You know, it's an experiential thing. This whole program is experiential. This whole spiritual transformation is not words and concepts to me. Perhaps it started out that way, but it's proven to be experiential. I've gone through it. I've walked this path. I continue to walk this path, and my life gets better. That's the secret. If there is a secret, the spiritual transformation gets better, progressively better, whereas the disease gets progressively worse. That's been my reality. So with that, I'll pass, and let me open it up. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Lassa O.
Melissa
Penny C.
Candice B.
Okay, let's go with those four because I'm not sure, and then we'll see if we have more time. We have Vasa, Melissa, Penny, and Candice. Vasa, good morning. Hey, Vasa, press star one if you would.
Sorry, I was talking.
Yep.
Thank
That's
you,
okay.
Larry,
That's
for your service. And I'm grateful we covered compulsive overeater calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I'm just going to, first of all, I'm going to read the set aside prayer. Lord, help me to set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery. Offer new experience in you, Lord, a new experience in myself, a new experience in my fellows, and a much needed new experience in my own recovery. Amen. I love the set-aside prayer. I grew up in a very prejudiced home. And again, in the early years of my life, and we were thought only our religion was right. We're not supposed to step in another people's churches, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, or whatever, you know. So I grew up with a lot of negativism, you know, about God, fearful punishing God. I remember going to church as a child, very young child, the services would start like 8 o'clock. They would not finish till like 11 o'clock. They lasted forever. There was no seat to sit. There was candles burning all over. There was incense, you know, going all, and the church was small, wasn't very big. And I remember feeling I just wanted to vomit. It was a horrible experience. And hungry. We went to church hungry because we're going to receive communion. So I did not have a good experience. And again, I'm grateful I came to the 12 steps right here. It's a spiritual program. It's not a religious. And whatever I have learned here in the 12 steps, I would have never learned that in my own church. Although I have gone back to church, and it's not my church that I grew up. I go to another church, and it lasts only like 45 minutes, you know, an hour to the longest. And I love going to church. But this is my number one church. I'm open-minded today. I go there, and I'm open-minded. But this is my church. You know, this is where if I had to choose from both of them, this is where I would choose to go. And I'm just so grateful what I have learned, you know, about, you know, higher power, about the food addiction, about the allergy. I have a new life. It's a new life for me. And it's a good, good life, you know. And I do have a higher power, which I call God. And this God gets me through with everything I go through. And I have people that I can share with my experience. And I can pray. I can write about it. And, there's nothing better than this. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Hey, Melissa, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Good morning, everyone. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, when I think about, like, myself being the Alpha and Omega, you know, the end and the beginning, the last word, you know, it's like, who do you think you are, God? And, yeah, my answer was yes. I thought I was God, you know, or I thought I was the maker of my own destiny. And, you know, there's two huge problems with that way of thinking. One is it's not true. And so everything, you know, if that's my beginning assumption, then everything I kind of build around it is deeply flawed. And, of course, it doesn't work, you know. And the other problem with that is it left me entirely disconnected. You know, if I'm everything, if I'm the maker of my own destiny, well, then who do I go to when things aren't going well? You know, I just kept going back to me. And so I kept relying on myself, and I was the thing that was really broken. And so I kept going to the very thing that was my problem over and over and over again. And, you know, and so when I'm the maker of my own destiny, I'm really alone. I'm isolated. I'm in pain. Of course I went to the food. What else could I do? You know, food was the great soother, because being God and managing your destiny, it's too much responsibility. It was too much for me to bear. And, you know, my experience growing up, the youngest of five children, I don't know why my siblings found religion, and I did not. And so any time they got in life what I thought I should have gotten, I was pissed, and I hated their God, you know. And any time tragedy struck in my life and I saw that they didn't come through for me, and they could never come through for me because that was just too big a list, then I hated them more, you know, and I hated their God more. And, you know, for me it was jealousy, envy. When God, I'm prey to all those bedevilments. And, you know, and so today when I can safely put my hand in a power greater than myself, I'm comforted. And that's good. you know, that's everything. And I seek to be comforted today. And that's where it began for me. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melissa. Now batting for the Red Sox, Penny C. Penny C. Good morning, Penny.
Yeah, Ted Williams up to bat. yeah, thank you, Larry. This is Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. There's one sentence here that just spoke to me this morning and reminded me of a story that I'm going to tell but I'm not proud of. I had already been in OA maybe a few years when I was working one evening late and in the hospital, and the supervisor called me to say, could you come up and be with me? I just got word that one of our nurses' son was just killed a short while ago in a motorcycle accident, and they want me to tell her and have her go to the hospital. And so I was there when the woman came in, and the supervisor, you know, spoke nicely and told her what had happened. And the woman just looked and cried a little bit, and the supervisor said, so I'm going to ask Penny to accompany you to the hospital. You cannot go alone. And the wonderful woman who had just heard she lost her son said, I'm never alone. I will take Jesus, my God, with me. And you know that the sentence says, we used to amuse ourselves. I was amused. I can remember calling my sister, and we literally mocked that woman for saying, oh, I'm never alone. And what this sentence is telling me, that I did that when I might have observed that she was spiritually minded and that she was demonstrating for me a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which I should have sought myself. I take that lesson. It certainly was a wonderful lesson for me to let me know that, you know, that was not healthy for me. And today, I so admire anyone who can say and believe that we're not alone, that we have a higher power with us. And that woman was such, God put her in my life for a reason. I don't know if I ever saw her again. It was a big hospital. But thank God that I've stayed in OA, I've studied this book, and today I am not amused or do I cynically, you know, criticize any other religion or faith. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Penny. Hey, Candace, you want to wrap us up this morning?
Thank you. Yes, this is Candace, recovered in the UK. I mean, the thing that jumps out strongly, but actually jumps out through most of the 12 steps, the big book is humility, and the fact that as addicts, the biggest killer for us is our ego. And, you know, when we say lay aside the prejudice, it really talks to me because, I mean, that was the thing that drove me for so long was my ego. I was right. And it took a long time for me to realize that actually just give it a go. You know, we can be sort of think that we're scientists, we think we're superior and that we don't need something like that. And, you know, that and look down on others who are using that. And then we suddenly realize, well, actually, give it a go. And we find for ourselves that it works. And so, you know, if anybody's listening in and they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, I can do this without, I would just say try it because it makes such a massive difference. It certainly did to me, and it makes a difference in my everyday life, not just in terms of putting down the food, but it in my dealing with my children, other people, and their moods. So it's like, you know, when you're operating on a different level and you're asking and you're handing over the keys to your higher power, and you know, and asking that higher power to drive your thoughts and just kind of every part of you, it makes such a big difference because you're not in this state of reaction anymore. And I find that, you know, when I'm and others have their moods, which they're entitled to, now I'm not saying I'm perfect here at all, but more often than not, I'm able to step back because I'm asking a power greater than myself to help drive me. Because on my own, I make a right old mess and crashing into trees all over the place. So I'd rather sit in the passenger seat, let my higher power take control, because I'm then able to step back and not react. And that is a huge thing for me, because I was always so hurt by anything anybody would say or a look, or even if they didn't sustain the smile long enough, it was immediately, what have I done? What have I done? All about me. Whereas this way, even if people are kind of direct things at me, it kind of gives you this sort of bulletproof vest, and just makes you really strong to not respond to the emotions of others. And when you're in a state like that, it's so freeing and so wonderful. So not only does it give us the defense against the first bite, it also gives us that defense against being manipulated emotionally, or allowing ourselves to be manipulated emotionally. So I can only vouch for the fact that this works, and you know, if you're a scientist, give it a try, because you'll probably find it does. And I guess the last thing to say is just that, you know, does it actually matter if it's real or if it's inside us or if it's a psychological thing? It works, and that's the main thing. And so, you know, I mean, I choose to believe because I know the difference it makes in me. But you don't actually have to believe. You can just simply put these things into practice and talk to, as if you're talking to a power greater than yourself, in however you might choose to do it. And the transformation, certainly for me, from being an absolute car crash and, you know, totally unable to put down the food you know, ready to either top myself or be committed somewhere, to an incredibly free life now, an incredibly full and very, very happy, beyond my wildest dreams. And that's thanks to this program, putting down the food and, you know, having, giving the car keys over to my higher power. So I'll pass on that, and thank you for your service today.
Thanks, Candace. Okay, thank you to everyone who has shared. Let me give you the share ID for today, Wednesday, May 31st. And that is, excuse me, let's see here. Today is June 1st, Thursday, Larry. Okay, the share ID for today, Thursday, is 9997. That's 9997. And again, thank you for everyone. Please join us for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We're now going to close with a reading from the big book. Katie G is going to read to us. Katie, page 164.
Hello, hello, Larry. May I be heard?
You can.
Wonderful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.